And I've had the privilege of working with quite a few colleagues to help bring eye tracking technology to horticulture consumer research. So this morning, what I'm going to do is moderate myself, and I'd ask you to please turn your cell phone off or turn it to silent mode. And for the other presenters, I'll stand up when you have about 3 minutes left so you know that it is time to finish, and maybe Heike or Jennifer, you could help me with the three-minute wave. So we have been working with two types of equipment, and the first one we've kind of abandoned for a couple of problems, which I'll talk about. But basically, there are two types of eye-tracking pieces of equipment. There is a set of glasses, and these are actually the older glasses that Tobii International markets. And there's also a bar that attaches either to a laptop computer or to a desktop screen. Several of us will probably reinforce this, but eye tracker technology began in the medical field to help people with brain injury recover and see how they're recovering. All of the eye trackers work very similarly in that they shine an infrared LED light harmlessly into the pupil, and then it is reflected and triangulated by a series of cameras in order to pinpoint precisely where the eye is looking. And as I said, two types of eye trackers are on the market today: glasses, which are really relatively inconspicuous, and the second generation, which was just released by Tobii International, is even smaller and lighter. I'll show that to you in a minute. And the one that our group has been working with mostly is this X1 light eye tracker, which can be affixed either to a computer monitor or to a notebook computer. So here are the Tobii glasses, and one of the things that I wanted to show you is here is where the LED beam comes to project to help triangulate. There's the camera, and there is only, in this older generation, there was only one camera, and it was over the right eye. Yes, over the right eye. The glasses had to be attached to a data recorder, which was about the size of those of you that remember cassette players or portable cassette players, about that large, by a cable, which made it a slightly bulky to use. And the other important thing is that you have to use these infrared markers. The beam of light to be triangulated has to come from the glasses, bounce off the eye, and go to the marker. This is a slide of the new eye glasses, and they have cameras over both eyes, and you can see they're slightly smaller, and the real benefit is the wireless transmitter. So the wire is gone, the glasses are lighter, and one of the big flaws with the eye tracking glasses with just one eye, now we have the capacity to capture two eyes. So one of the first studies we did, just to give you an idea of cost, I'm not sure of the cost of the brand new glasses, but the older version were $4,000 to rent for 4 weeks or $40,000 to purchase. And we knew that Procter & Gamble has several dozen of these. IKEA has them. There's a lot of work being done in the private sector. And then there's also a training session that's needed. And is that about what yours was, Charlie? About $3,000. So one of the first studies that we did with these glasses, and you can see one of the women, Master Tag, worked with us initially, is wearing them, and we were calibrating. One of the first steps you have to do is to calibrate an individual with the glasses and the recorder. So you see Kristen holding the recorder here, and Dorothea has the glasses on, and Kristen is holding one of these small IR markers so that we can calibrate. And once people put the glasses on, they pretty much forgot that they had them on. A couple of things that we can glean from this. So this was one of the displays in one of the early studies that we did, and I think your eye pretty quickly notices the IR markers. Clearly, this technology was developed for supermarket shelves, which are all the product is square, front-facing, and pushed into a plane. Our product is not marketed in a plane. It is marketed in a three-dimensional view. And so one of the things, when we get people to stand at the same place, we can identify these hot spots of visual activity. But it is very distracting, and you can see visual activity happening on the very necessary IR markers that are needed. And I give Kristen a lot of credit for the dowel and rod and floral clay, because we had to come up with a way to position these IR markers in space in order to have the tracker work. We tried a wide variety of displays, and you see the IR markers sprinkled throughout these displays, and I'll show you a heat map of this. One of the limitations is you cannot track the eye through a 360-degree angle. You had to view it from one plane. We had to have consumers all stand at the same spot, which makes the shopping experience less than ideal. But when consumers wear the glasses and we let them shop, I'm going to play for you a video. It also captures audio, and this is a really fascinating insight, literally getting us into the consumer's head. So the red dot is where she's looking. You can hear the audio in the background. And here she's visually comparing the color in the coleus band with the center of the osteospermum. Notice that she's not looking very deeply into the display, and there's also a distortion when the object of visual activity is closer than an arm's length. We get this distortion called parallax. So there's some definite pros and cons to using this. We tried another study with it in December in a garden center, and again, we're trying. You can see these; they do stick out, and we had a couple of hot spots of visual activity. But notice again, these IR markers are getting what we consider to be unnecessary visual activity. We did some manipulation with signs, which will lead into the last paper, and the signs got quite a bit of visual activity when they were in the center, but when they were off to the left, we later discovered that they get even more attention. So the plus of the glasses is they are light and enable the real shopping process, both visually and audibly, but the downside is the IR markers are obvious. They attract attention or distract them from the shopping process. In order to aggregate the data, we had to have subjects standing at an identical location, because you can imagine if I look at it from this perspective and you look at it from this perspective, it becomes very difficult to see exactly. We didn't see exactly the same thing. Probably the greatest drawback is that sunlight interferes with the IR beam. You cannot collect this outside in a nursery or a garden center because the sunlight, and thankfully we live in Michigan where the sun rarely shines. So the one spring it was very cloudy. We were able to collect data, but we noticed these big gaps and great difficulty calibrating. So we moved into the X1 Light eye tracker. Tobii is only one manufacturer. There are other manufacturers out there, but it's relatively the same technology, where it attaches either to the bottom of a computer screen or to a laptop computer. And so even though it makes the shopping experience somewhat artificial, now we can experimentally manipulate some of the information. So this was from a study that we did in Australia and in the United States. We digitally manipulated these signs, and so randomizing the signs, some of them had price information while others had benefit information or purely identical information. You're able to show subjects a series of randomized slides, and one of the things that we found from this is that if we show individuals signs that only have content, that their likeliness to buy is higher than if we show subjects a sign that simply has price. And so here is some very helpful information to the retail sector that price should not be the headline, that it should be of lesser importance. Pat Huddleston and Tom and I worked with two undergraduate students, and Holly Mancero did this as an undergraduate research project from the same data file, showing that displays that were relatively simple in nature, meaning they had only one level or only one species were much less visually interesting than displays that had multiple levels or multiple genera. And so more visual activity, we would hope, would lead to a greater likeliness to buy. And that was, in fact, the case with this complexity. Another study that we did, again, you can manipulate the signs digitally, and we were able to show that people who were very focused on the plant material, in fact, who made decisions based upon what the plant was looked at, or their total visit duration was relatively high, compared to people who made a purchase decision based on how the plant was grown. Their visual attention was directed longest to that, and people who made a purchase decision based upon price fixated on that price side almost twice as long as the plant-oriented consumers. So the advantages to the bar on the computer screen is that it eliminates a lot of the variance. If we want to do this from morning to night, in the garden center we saw plants being shopped, chosen, turned, dried out. So we eliminated a lot of that variation. It enabled us to take the images to participants or subjects in different areas, different locations, and it had them view it from the same perspective. The technology is very highly portable. It was much easier to calibrate because we were tracking two eyes and not just one. And we also found that with a verbal response that subjects could view up to 30 images within a few minutes. The process goes very, very fast with the bar eye tracker as opposed to the glasses, and it was much easier to aggregate.